Thank you all. Please be seated. So another imaginative exercise, but I'm not going to scrap this one at the end as I did last time I asked you to imagine a golden city. This time I want you to enter again, as we've sought to do in our gathering, a little into that story, into that procession, that first Palm Sunday. We hear a story which is so familiar that unless we try and enter into it again, maybe it just goes over us, because we read it at the beginning of this service and we have our palm branches, and then we go into this great story of the Passion, which we enter into together in some length. So I want to stop at the procession. Imagine the noise. It's hot, it's dusty, the place is crowded, the city, this ancient city, stone city, is packed with people all there for the Passover festival and the preparations for that. Imagine this city bustling with life and the noise, and then there's an echo. Hosanna to the Son of David, and someone's coming riding on a donkey. In marked contrast to the other procession that would have been happening on the other side of the city. Because it seems there's a bit of Northern Irish in Jerusalem. Whenever there's an opportunity, they'll have a procession. Oh, look, the sun's out. Let's go and have a parade. Sorry. That's part of my heritage coming out there. But there's a big imperial procession with chariots and war horses and the governor's cortege, and it's very impressive indeed, coming in through one side of the city, and the noise is incredible, and there are trumpets and slaves and people crowded in. And on the other side, it's still noisy, but there's a different cry. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. And the people are singing, and instead of a war horse, there's a donkey. And instead of carpets being spread out in front of the entourage, there are cloaks being thrown on the ground and the trees are being stripped. Imagine all of that and the contrast between these two events and the one which remains in our hearts and in our observance is not the big power of empire. It's the humility of the Christ. The church has often bought in to the life of splendor and empire. And I have a particularly splendid stole on today. And we do wear our vestments, and we do like to mark these occasions with something special, with a procession. But at the heart of where we are called, we are not to celebrate empire. We are to live in obedience to a law of love and of grace, and of commitment to justice, a commitment to a life where all are welcomed and embraced, where all have value, and where when we see injustice, we stand up. Jesus was crucified those few days later, not because he was a religious leader and told everyone to love each other, but because he represented a threat to an order that the empire had put in place. His obedience, the obedience that we heard about in the letter to the Philippians today, was to a higher commitment, to a commitment of love and of peace and of showing the life of God in word and in action. People are not crucified for saying nice things about loving each other, but for standing up for that which is good and right, no matter what the cost. And so as we journey through this Holy Week, we too are called to consider the cost of our following, the cost of being Christ followers, the cost of obedience to God's law of love, a love that is not about being nice to each other, but about being deeply committed to one another and to those beyond our community. And so as we journey through this Holy Week, I invite you to enter in to what it means to be an obedient follower of Christ, to what it means to be humble, to what it means to be graceful, to what it means to be willing to follow to the cross. Amen.